Good morning. May 17th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's themes include another year of falling U.S. overdose deaths and a local warning out of Charlottesville about cocaine reportedly cut with fentanyl. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with news, the Los Angeles Times reports that U.S. overdose deaths fell again in 2025. The piece also notes that some people are worried about policy shifts and changes in the drug supply, even with that decline. A separate national health story from NBC News says President Trump's push on flavored vapes is drawing backlash from some MAHA influencers and administration officials. That is one to watch because it points to disagreement inside constituencies that are often grouped together publicly. The New York Post reports that the cannabis industry may be inching closer to the banking access it has long sought in the United States. And Filter looks back 10 years after Motherisk, arguing that parents who use drugs are still being punished. Over in the Social Pulse, one LinkedIn post from Ozzie May argues that people working around drug use should repeat a simple principle. We are here to help make things safer and not to be saviors. A more immediate alert comes from Charlottesville. In a May 16th Blue Sky post, Catherine Laughlin shared reports that a batch of cocaine in town is cut with fentanyl, urged people to test their supply and not use alone, and said Seaville Harm Reduction is distributing test strips. For local programs, that kind of post can matter most in the first few hours after it spreads. Another Blue Sky post from Valare said SAMHSA had ruled that fentanyl test strips and overdose prevention phone hotlines are banned from receiving HHS grant money intended for harm reduction, reversing what the post described as a 2025 decision. There was also an example of opposition messaging. On X, Melissa Feltz argued that harm reduction is more enabling than helpful and said it costs Colorado millions of dollars. In research, a randomized usability study in the American Journal of Emergency Medicine compared single-step and multi-step intranasal naloxone devices for overdose response in an at-risk population. Another item, covered in Alcoholism and Drug Abuse Weekly, says numbers from New York City overdose prevention centers suggest benefits from that approach. That connects with the continuing debate over supervised consumption and what counts as usable evidence in public discussions. And a quasi-experimental study examined state xylazine scheduling and changes in xylazine and metatomidine reports in the U.S. illicit drug supply. On the policy front, Georgia has expanded its behavioral healthcare workforce database to include data from licensed healthcare professionals. Even when a measure is administrative, workforce tracking can shape where treatment and behavioral health capacity gets counted and planned. A few funding opportunities are current right now. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, or CARA, opportunity through NCIPC, with a deadline of June 8, 2026. SAMHSA also has a Provider's Clinical Support System for Substance Use Disorder Treatment opportunity, listed as PCSS-SUD treatment, with a deadline of June 15, 2026. And the Smart Family Fund is offering Angel Philanthropy first-time grants ranging from $25,000 to $100,000 with an open pitch deadline.
For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version.
And finally, in activism, Faces and Voices of Recovery is promoting free ORN virtual recovery trainings and events. Shatterproof is also asking for donations in support of mental health awareness. If either of those fits your work, this is a good moment to register or contribute directly. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.